All the Psalms, chapter 26, and verse 8. With the help of the Lord, the message that I'm going to share with you this morning is a burden the Lord has placed upon my heart. It's nothing new. I just want to read one verse here. But this message this morning, on one hand, is things that I believe that if nobody else in this church believed, on one side of the equation, I believe them. I believe them strongly, and I have believed them for over 30 years. And then you take the other side of the equation, but for the grace of God, tomorrow, I may not believe them, because that's the flesh. I rely upon the grace of God. But first of all, in Psalms chapter 26, and verse 8, it says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. There's no other place upon the face of the earth where God's honor dwells than in the house where his people meet, where the Lord's church meets. Now go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. If you want a title or a subject for my message this morning, the subject would be the Lord's Church, then and now. The subject would be the Lord's Church, then. The then would be in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. The then would be the Lord's Church in the New Testament, and now. And again, I believe if nobody else here believes this, and I believe that you do, you're here this morning, and I believe that gives evidence of many that believe it as strongly as I do, and I may not believe it as strongly as I should, so I don't want to sound arrogant, but I believe in the relevance of the Lord's church in 2023. I believe in the relevance of the Lord's church if we're here another 200 or 300 or 1,000 years, whatever the case may be. I believe in the relevance of the Lord's church. I don't believe we freely or fully, forgive me, I don't believe we fully appreciate the blessedness of the Lord's church. And I hope that God would help us never to view the Lord's church as a negative. The Lord's church to me is not a negative in my life. When I'm living as I ought to be, when I'm walking in the Spirit of God, the Lord's church is not a negative thing in my life. I don't care what anyone says about the Lord's church, how irrelevant that they think that it may be. It's a blessed thing that God has placed me in His church. Again, I don't say this morning. I don't say these things this morning because I needed a message to preach. I say these things this morning because I truly believe them with my whole heart. Even in times, and I'm just going to be bold and blunt, even in times back in 2004 when I doubted my very salvation, I still had a desire to be in the house of God, to be with the people of God, and to be around the Word of God. I still had that desire. The Lord saved my soul over 30 years ago. He placed me in His church. I didn't place myself here because my dad was a pastor here. The Lord added me to Faith Baptist Church, and I thank Him for that. I thank Him for that then. I was happy about it then, and guess what? I'm happy about it today. I'm happy God saved my soul. I'm happy that God placed me in His church. It is not a negative thing. You may be here this morning. You may be saved. You may be a member of the Lord's church, and you may be discouraged. You may the devil, or even your flesh, or maybe even other people in your life, may be putting into your mind that church is such a negative thing. What I would tell you to do by the grace of God is get alone with God and pray. Get alone with God and get in His Word. Get right with the Lord. Get right with His church. The Lord's church is not a negative thing. You say, Scott, you better get going. You only have so much time. The Lord has brought some songs into my life that I listen to. And there's such truth in them. and I listen to them often. There's such truth in them, and it just blesses me. I think about, and I may get into this more tonight, I think about the way that I was raised. And I went away from that. But God brought me back. I didn't bring myself back. God brought me back. I'm not upset that God brought me back. I'm thankful. I don't care who thinks that I'm a nut. I don't care if it's family members. I don't care if it's co-workers. I don't care if it's friends. They have a right to live their life, and I have a right to live mine. I have that freedom. And I praise God that He saved my soul. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Back in the book of Acts chapter 1, the day of Pentecost, as we'll get to, and we are going to do some lengthy reading. And I believe, and I could be wrong, I'm not as theological, and I'm going to use Brother Luke as an example because I think he's well studied, but I'm not as theological probably as Brother Luke, but I believe the day of Pentecost happened approximately 10 days after the ascension of Jesus Christ. And the Lord did some mighty things. And I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit here, but the Lord did some mighty things. But did you know in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ told His apostles to wait? Just think about that for a minute. He told them to wait. These were men that had all been with Jesus. I ask you the question this morning. Why didn't they all just go out and do their own thing? I mean, after all, they had been with Jesus. It wasn't an ego trip for them. It wasn't about, I've been with Jesus. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start this ministry and I'm going to call it after my name. None of them did that. None of them went out and did their own thing. They all waited for what the Lord told them to wait for. What were they to wait for? I know Brother Andy has just brought, not too long ago, the teen class through the book of Acts. What were they to wait for? They were to wait for the Spirit of God to be upon them. And what does God do when His people wait? Sometimes it's hard to wait. I can tell you some examples in my life where I have not waited. And to this day, I'm not just saying this because I need a message. I'm paying the consequences. Wait upon the Lord. They waited and God blessed. Whatever your situation is this morning, wait upon the Lord. And work together with the Lord's church. Is it hard? Yes. In over 30 years of being a member of the Lord's church, there's been times where I was very discouraged. Maybe I was upset. Maybe a little bit of bitterness was beginning to brew. Get right with the Lord and wait on the Lord. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of Him 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judah the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now notice verse 15, and then we'll skip to chapter 2. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said, The numbers of names together were about 120. People put such little emphasis on the Lord's church coming together. They don't think it's necessary. They just hear the pastors. And they, you know, even as Brother Luke mentioned this morning, Hebrews 10:25, they think that a church should just come together just because that one verse in Scripture. When we don't come together as a church, we are responsible for hurting the church, especially if we could be there. Well, that's not a big deal. You know, it goes deeper than that. I've always, by the grace of God, and there may have been a few times it hasn't happened, but on the Lord's Day, if we were on vacation, well, let's just get Sunday morning out of the way and do our own thing. No, the manner of the Lord's Day is to keep it to the Lord's Day. It's all His day. The morning's His day. The night's His day. It's important that God's people have a habit. And when I say habit, not in a bad way, but a tendency to come together with the people of God every time they come together. Notice verse 1 of chapter 2. Lengthy reading. And when the day of Pentecost, and let me say this, lest I forget. We skipped over a section. Well, what section did we skip over? We skipped over the section where the church voted on the replacement for Judas. And let me say this. Well, did they say, well, I want this one, so he's my favorite. This guy speaks well, he's good looking, he's this, he's that. It wasn't a popularity contest. It was, first of all, who's faithful? Who's faithful? Who's faithful in season? Who's faithful out of season? Who's consistent? Who's faithful to the things of God? And they chose one. They replaced as the Lord led. And again, the church only works under the leadership of the Lord. The church is not going to work under the leadership of the richest, eldest man in the church. God has always worked through the leadership of his man, and we'll see that in a little bit. God still works that way today. Yeah, but Scott, sometimes men go sideways. I'm going to get to that. Sometimes they do. I know, and there could even be some here today that think Scott was raised in a pastor's home. He's ignorant, he's simple-minded, and he would follow a man into the depths of the ocean. If he's in God's Word, guess where I'm going? By the grace of God, I'm going to follow the Word of God. You can say what you want to say about me, but by the grace of God, I'm going to follow the Word of God. And I'll get into that in a little bit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, where was everybody at? They were all with one accord in one place. The tendency today is to have freelance Christianity. Well, what's that mean? Everybody does as they want. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to make sure I hit this. I'm going to do my own thing so I can have my own life. You know what? I lost my own thing, and I lost my own life the day the Lord saved my soul. My life isn't about my own thing and my own life. My life is about serving the Lord. Lost people aren't going to understand that. God has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. In spite of who I am, God is good to me. I've said this once, I'm going to say it again. I don't apologize that the Lord saved my soul. I don't want to be unsaved. I don't want to be like the world. I'm a child of God, and I carry that by the grace of God with honor when I'm living as I ought to. It is a blessed thing. I just feel like there's many that profess the name of Christ today, many that are members of the Lord's church today, that I almost feel as though they need to apologize what God has called them to be. God hasn't called us to apologize for what He's called us to be. He's called us to walk with a thankful heart and to live in a way that we honor and glorify Him. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And I'm going to skip part of this portion, not because I don't believe it. I do believe it. But for the sake of reading the whole chapter, I'm going to skip this. God did a miraculous work there. He did it in the midst of His church. God still does that today. When we don't see people saved, when we don't see, and to me, again, this is my personal belief, the most miraculous work that we can see God do today is not raising someone from the dead physically. It isn't saving somebody or healing someone's cancer. The most miraculous work that God can do today in 2023 is save a soul. That is the most miraculous work. Bring a person who is dead spiritually into the saving of their soul. But God did a miraculous work. In verse 13, first those that were saved recognized what God had done and were rejoicing, I believe, and some were in doubt. But in verse 13, I want you to notice, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." There's always going to be persecution. God has called us to be courageous in our faith. We're not to be cowards. We're not to hide what we believe. And just, again, I going by my personal life, I don't go around when I'm talking to people and tell them everything I believe about God. But if you push me into the corner and you want to know what I believe about this and what I believe, I'm not going to run and hide from it by the grace of God. We're to tell. And we're first and foremost always to tell about the blood of Jesus Christ, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I that are saved this morning and we're members of this church, if we came to this church or we come to this church for any other reason, whether it be a family tie, whether it just be something we feel comfortable or something we need to do, we need to be sure that we're coming with the understanding that we're giving glory for what Jesus has done for us. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm not just thankful of it because He saved me 30 years ago. I'm thankful because He continues to cleanse me of my sin. I'm thankful for that because I fail the Lord. A great miracle happened. There was those that mocked. And then notice verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. I just don't like your pastor. I don't like your preacher. He yells. He mean. God's word, when you're going to teach, when you're going to preach, when you're going to read, we need to do so with confidence. It's not my word. It's God's word. There is a time of lifting up the voice. There is the time to have some passion. And I'm not talking about passion that a professor can give you. I'm talking about passion that the Spirit of God will give you. A passion for the Word of God. Peter lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwelleth in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." And then Peter begins to preach and begins, I believe, to quote scripture as he talks about David. But he begins to preach. And then we see the blessings upon the Lord's church. We see the blessings in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" If you're here this morning, and I know there's those of you that are here and that are lost, just like I was. And people say, "We want you to be saved, we want you to be saved." And you hear about the judgment. And there is a day of judgment. You hear about that day of judgment if you're not in and have received the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of your life, whether it's however that comes, in death, or what we've been studying on Wednesday evenings. What must you do to be saved? It isn't be baptized. It isn't, "Oh, I got to join Faith Baptist Church. I got to walk in front of those people saying I give a sense of what they believe." It isn't even that. When the Lord saved me, I was saved at home. I don't even know that people knew I was lost. I was at home. I was kind of coming to church and kind of not. And I was saved on a Thursday morning in one of the lowest places of my life. And I cried out to the Lord and He saved my soul. I have not always been a Christian. I should have been. But I'm thankful for God's mercy. And the older I get, the more grateful I am for the mercies of God upon my life. Well, I've covered a whole lot of ground and I probably lost you. You say, "Scott, how do you get the message about the church then and now?" The church is still relevant this morning. Quit listening to the world. Come over here, you got to experience this. Come over there, you got to experience this. And you get on the internet, "Oh, this is a great teacher. Oh, this is a great teacher." You know, the Bible has something to say about a man out of labor in his own field. Do we even realize what that means? A man ought to labor in his own field. I want to be careful with this. Every single member, we all ought to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should. We probably, if we're honest about it, we probably fail. And there's times we don't fail. But we need to make sure we're doing things the way the Lord has prescribed us to do those things in His Word. And not detract from the preaching and the teaching ministries of His church. Then and now, I'm going to try to get, first of all, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And then we're going to move into a few of these thoughts with the Lord's help. I love when I'm interested in, I guess I can use the word love. I've learned, maybe that's a better word. And I should love it if I don't. But I've learned, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 16, that the context of God's Word, when you take a familiar passage of Scripture such as we're going to read, and then you can place it into the context, it gives such a deeper understanding and help us grow in the faith. But still, this is a verse that is so fitting for our day and age. The children of Israel here in the time of Jeremiah were in a very bad place, just as they were in Isaiah and just as they were in many of the times in the Old Testament. And I believe sometimes we as God's people today can find ourselves in a very bad place. What should we do? What should we do when we find ourselves in a very bad place? I know what we should do. We should go to the internet. We should ask our lost friends what they enjoy spiritually. We should ask those that's never submitted to the baptism according to scriptures, and never submitted to the Lord's church, which He built, and we're reading about this morning. We should ask them what they do. That's none of those things is what we should do. What we should do is found in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Help us never to have that attitude. We will not. I will never do this. I will never do that. Help us not to be that way. Help us to say, by the grace of God, I will embrace that teaching. I will do that. I'm just going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to give you some of these scriptures. I'm not going to go to them all. These are my testimony concerning the Lord's church. As a young Christian, I've never got away from, especially these first two. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says, I will build my church. You have to have that foundation if you're going to persevere in the Lord's church. Or I should say you need that foundation. The Lord said He is going to build His church. You know, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, and I can't think exactly where it's at now. Familiar passage of Scripture. But Jesus talks about Himself. And He says, there's nothing comely about Me. There was nothing about Jesus like the world portrays Him in the flesh that would make people just want to flock to Him. There's not. And you know, I kind of find that interesting. I think the Lord's church is the same way. In this day and time, we're lost people. And I'm not saying all of them are. I'm not going to say that. But in a day and time where many people flock to many spiritual type things that are nothing to do with the Lord's church, you say, Scott, you just say that because you're a member. Well, maybe in the flesh that you could make that accusation. But I also say that because that's what the Lord started, was His church. But many people flock to the things spiritually apart from the Lord's church and do not desire. The church is boring because the focus of a church is God's Word. When people talk to me about Faith Baptist Church, when it comes up, and it does come up, one thing that I believe, and one reason I believe so strongly that Faith Baptist Church is a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because the center of everything that we do is around the Word of God. It's not because I go here. It's not because my parents went here. It's because the center of everything that we do is around God's Word. And Jesus Christ has the preeminence in all things. Matthew 16, Jesus said He built His church. Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church. When the Lord saved my soul, I had a new desire. I found meaning and purpose in my life that I had never had before. I had very little to no purpose in my life when the Lord saved me. I couldn't work. I couldn't function. I had severe depression, anxiety. That's part of my makeup. That's part of who I was. I'll never overlook that by the grace of God. I had no purpose. The Lord saved my soul and gave me purpose. And then after the Lord gave me purpose of saying, Scott, I've saved you. You're going to honor and glorify Me. After that, the Lord made a call upon my life. I felt a call upon the Lord's life, upon my life, to preach His Word. People say, well, it's many, many years have gone by, Scott, and you're going backwards. I'm going right where God wants me to. I am so content. God has blessed my life. I've never had a desire, I don't believe, to want to make a name for my... It's not about me. If God wants me just to do the simple things until the day He takes me home, I'm blessed. I'm fine with that. God has already blessed me more than I deserve. But I had a desire to glorify the Lord and His church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. When people begin to speak to you and want to get you involved in things away from the Lord's church, like that's where God is working today. And there's a lot of things out there, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to leave those things with the Lord. The Lord, God is God. I'm not. But I am not going to discount the impact of the Lord's church. I'm not personally going to bypass, if I can help it, the Lord's church. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And then Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 21 through 27, these are all familiar. And if they're not, they should be. Jesus, He teaches us here that we as men ought to love our wives. But the teaching here is that He gave His life for His church. Why do we look at the church and take it for granted? And I'm not just talking to you guys. You say, you hypocrite. I'm talking to all of us. Why don't we hold the church in higher esteem than we do? And I know there's those that do. But we shouldn't lose our respect for the Lord's church. Do we? And I asked the question this morning. Do you feel honored this morning that you're a member of the Lord's church? If you're here and you're saved? I can say this and I can say this and I can say this, and I hope that people believe me. First thing you need is you need to be saved. I don't want to skip that. A person can be saved. I had someone tell me once, your church, I've had people tell me, I think twice, your church believes they're the only ones going to heaven. No, we do not believe that. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're truly saved, you're going to heaven. We do not believe that. We do not believe that we're the only ones. I'm passionate about that because it just boils my blood when people attack when they don't need to attack. And they never need to attack. God's going to deal with those. And people think, well, it's just this one person or this. No, there's multiple people that probably... There's probably people in your family. I look out at this congregation. I see many that have stood the test of time and even stood against family. They weren't raised in this church. And yet they're faithful and they're young. People think, well, young people can't be faithful to the church. Lord willing, I'm going to get into that if the Lord allows me tonight. The Lord's church, He gave Himself for it. Second of all, God still uses. Oh, here's Scott's pet peeve. No, it's not. It's just Bible. Brother Luke teaches it, preaches it, brought it out this morning. God still uses a God-called man in His church. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Now, this is where I get to give you the other side. I'm 51 years old. I've been in church for the most part all my life. I've seen many. Let me say that again. I've seen many pastors that even as they were maybe in their height, I'm not going to exaggerate that, I've seen some that I knew, and many of your minds may go to one man. I've seen more than that. How do I judge a pastor? How do I judge a preacher? You say, Scott, you shouldn't judge. Yeah, there's some things we need to judge. First thing I look at is how do they treat people? How did Jesus Christ treat people? He gave His life for people that didn't deserve it. You can be in a church, and maybe some of these things I get from my mom. But you can be in a church, and you can give the lesson, and you can give the message. You can be a deacon, you can be a song leader, you can be this and you can be that. But when you're out in the world, if you treat people like garbage, Shame on us. We're a reproach to the name of the Lord. How do we treat people? Next thing I look at is how do they treat their family? And I haven't always been up for Father of the Year Award. If I could take it back, I would be much softer than I was. And then some cases, I wouldn't be. I got a picture of my son this week who I love dearly. He said, sent me a picture of him and his wife. And I love them both. Don't take this and cause division. I'm just going to tell you. He sent a picture of me and his wife. He said, see, we went to her last formal. I went to the prom after all. I said to him, I waited for a little bit. He called me. I knew he would because I didn't answer him. Thought he offended me. I said, you know what? If I raised you, I'd do the same thing again. I'm not going to make apologies for how I raised you. I raised you by the grace of God and the things of the Lord. God still uses a God called man. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. And, oh, I hope I got to the right place, and I bet you I didn't. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 9, and it's not 7. I think it's 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Oh, Faith Baptist Church, they're a cult. They listen to the man of God. Listen, it isn't just Faith Baptist Church that listens to the man of God. All throughout Scripture, when people listen to the man of God, their lives were blessed. Men of God aren't called to come and bring suggestions. They're come to bring the truth of God's Word. Let me just give you a list. Noah was a man of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. I don't think Noah said, oh, choose to get on this boat. And God just has a wonderful plan for your life. I believe the preaching is repent or you're going to perish. Noah was a man of God used in his word. Abraham, Joshua, Moses, Elijah. You get to the New Testament. And of course, this isn't all inclusive, but Peter, John the Baptist, Paul, the book of Revelation, John. God's men isn't nothing that we come up with in the 1900s. And we should never follow any man when they go apart from God's word. I'll say that just as solid. I'd also tell you, the head of a home is the husband, is the father. I'm the head of my home. But I am to lead my family in the ways of the Lord. God still uses a God called man. In spite of hypocrisies, in spite of those that started the journey, and there's been some that have really started out great, and then they just fell to the wayside. Fell into things that maybe they preach so hardly against. That's why I'm always cautious to strive to say, I'll never say never, because but by the grace of the Lord, I could be there too. And I'm not going to sit there and rip them apart. I'm not in their shoes. Men fall. God also restores too. God's mean, third of all. God's mean for His Word to be communicated. It was read this morning by our brother Andy. God's mean for His Word to be communicated today is still manifested through His Word. Notice what Brother Andy read this morning in the book of Titus. Well, there just seems there ought to be some other way. You guys just aren't quite getting it done. I believe wholeheartedly we're getting everything done that God wants us to get done. But I also believe wholeheartedly every single day we as members of the Lord's church can do better. And I don't know what kind of theology you want to call this. I'm just going to tell you what I believe, and I believe Scripture supports it. I believe every single day, not just on church day, but every single day, you and I can make decisions to do better, to promote a better environment when we come into the house of God. You know what that might be? That might be choosing to say, we probably shouldn't go there. This person wants to talk to me about something. I probably shouldn't listen to it. This song promotes fornication, adultery, and homosexuality. I probably shouldn't listen to it. This guy, there was a... I'm ashamed to say this. Music is a vice. Music is a vice. I could get on the 80s. I could start with a song that was at me and Kim's wedding. I could get into the 80s and man, I'm just... I stay away from it by the grace of God. I can't go there. But it's not just the lyrics. It's who you're listening to. What kind of a person are they? And I don't know this to be true or not. But apparently there was a gal who sung some songs. And some were catchy. And years ago, I'll be honest with you, I just downright liked them. But she said this, that I think the Bible, or so she said, maybe heard this, maybe didn't, maybe it isn't even true, but the Bible was outdated. God's word is not outdated. Notice Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God still uses preaching. And then last of all, real quickly, and most importantly than all, the message, the main message, the preeminent message of the gospel has not changed. We are to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I have never, and I hope that I never will, been able to look at people, and I know they're lost, and say, God just has a wonderful plan for your life. Show me in Scripture where that is the gospel, because I'm waiting to see it. Smile, Jesus loves you. Show me in the Scripture where that is the gospel. What I'll tell you the gospel is, Jesus did die for sinners. Jesus died for those that most people run away from. You know, if we really want to be true to what God has called us to do, we got to go towards the people that most people run away from. Well, that means the people in prison. Yeah, it means people in prison, but you know what else it means? It might mean somebody that stinks. It might mean somebody that's poor and they may ask you for something. But anybody. And we all have them. Some of us, I'll include myself, I might be one. I hope not. But we have to go towards people that the Lord would run away from. And then we have to go towards people that people don't run. We have to preach the gospel to everyone. Go to Matthew chapter 4. That is the message. Matthew chapter 4. I believe, this is just simply my opinion, and I could be wrong. I really believe God is going to, and I don't say this about just this morning, I believe this for, I want to say weeks, at least, maybe wrong, I don't want to exaggerate, but I do believe, and I have believed, that God is going to save some people among us. I believe that. I just feel like God is working, in spite of other things, negative things, I believe, and I hope, that God is going to save among us. He saved me. He saved you. He can save among us. I tell you a testimony that will wake you up. I've been thinking about a man that was an inspiration in my life as a young boy. I've got a lot of negatives if I want to get into the negative side. I do have some, and probably it could generally turn negative. Not that I'm perfect. But there was a man, his daughter Sandra Hall. This man's name was Leon DeJarnett. One of the most faithful men I ever met in my life. One of the most kindest men. And he would tell his testimony all the time. He had, I think, 3 boys, and at the time, 2 of them were in church. One of them would not come to church. The Lord has since saved his soul. And I can remember being in a prayer group and him bringing him before the church for years and years and years. The Lord is able. The Lord saved his soul. Brother Leonel had a bad finger, had a finger cut off. And his boys would laugh at him. He would get up and do the minutes, like Brother Andy does, or the treasurer's report, one of them. And they would laugh at him, and they would make fun of him in good humor. But Brother Leonel was a good man, and he always, always was ready to tell the Lord, tell people how the Lord had saved him. And his testimony was this. He said, one day I was at work. He worked in a shoe factory. And he said, I'd take my hand, and he said, I'd lay it on that machine. And he said, Lord, if I die and go to hell, I'm going to go there trusting you. Just like in our reading today, what must we do to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? I honestly don't know how all the innards take place, if you want to use that. But this is what I do know. You must hear the gospel. And you must have a change of heart. Now, I'm not saying that's up to you, but you must have a change of heart. If you come and you say you're saved, and there's never been a change of heart, I believe the faith and the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance, I believe that all takes place at the same time. I don't think it's a commitment that you make. I don't think it's a decision that you make. I don't think none of those things. I believe that faith, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe faith and repentance, all that happens at the same time. Simply put, one thing I think you find in salvation is a word called submission. For the first time in your life, after you fought the things of God, and fought the things of God, or maybe you just ignored them. For the first time in your life, you submit to the righteousness of God, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And I can only tell you about me and my experience. I didn't care what anybody thought anymore. I had a friend who also was a pastor's son. It's where I was going to church at the time. And I remember saying to him, the Lord has saved me. Everything. And he looked at me like, yeah, right. The Lord saved my soul over 30 years ago, and I'm glad that He did. I'm not perfect. If you're here and you're lost this morning, and I know there's many of you that are, you may see me, you may see my life. One of my desires, one of my burdens is that I personally will never be a stumbling block to you. Because I've been in the church where I had to overcome some stumbling blocks. Now that I'm older and I've been in church longer and the Lord has helped me grow a little bit, they're not stumbling blocks per se like they were. But when I was young, they were. You're here, you're saved, you say you're saved, you're a member of this church. You're older in the Lord, especially. Our young people are watching you. They're watching what kind of person that you are. They're watching the choices that we make. And it's not just young people. I hope the Lord will work just like He did. And I got to read this. I'm sorry, I can't leave you without reading this. Let me close with this. This is not just for lost people, but for the saved. This is such an important verse. Acts chapter 2. Go to verse 40. You know, and it has nothing to do with me per se, but it is kind of timely. Where do we get to the place where on the Lord's day, 45 minutes, you better be done. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I could withstand hours and hours of preaching. But if it's 5 or 10 minutes, where do we get to the place where we've conditioned our minds that we shut them off? Because in the New Testament, it wasn't like that. If you name the name of Christ, if you're here and you're lost, and the preaching and the teaching of God's Word bores you out of your mind, guess what? We understand that. We do. But if you're here and you're saved, it shouldn't bore us. And when it does, we just need to get right. We need to come anticipating. Notice verse 40, 41. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. This is where preachers get in trouble. Pastors get in trouble because they do what God has called them to do. You say, what do you mean, Scott? Verse 40 is preaching. With many other words, they testify and exhort. I don't believe, I should be careful here. Do we even understand what exhort is? Exhort isn't you're okay, I'm okay, you do your thing and I'll do mine. That's not what exhorting is. I should live my life. There's some of you here that have exhorted me just by the way I see you when you're not in church. And not just see your demeanor, your testimony. Exhort. And testify. Notice what he said. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm probably going to get an end of my message maybe tonight if the Lord allows me. Guess what, guys? And I don't say guys disrespectfully. I don't want to be disrespectful. I do not want to be like the world when I'm living as I ought to live. The standard is that I shouldn't come and touch this piano. That's the standard. That's God's standard. That I should stay right here. I shouldn't touch the piano. You know where we're living at today? All of Christianity wants to go like this. Here's the rules that mom did give me. It should be this way. Shouldn't touch the piano. I'm going to get over to here. God save among us. We're all going to live as close to the world as we can, but we want you to save among us. We want you to save our children. The people in Acts were not like that. They were in the center of God's will. Notice verse 44. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Guess what? When you're saved, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. You'll be glad. And when you're truly saved, there'll be times we'll get in the flesh and we'll mess up and we won't walk as we should. But when we're truly saved, the overall bend of our life is we'll be happy and we'll grow in the things of God and become steadfast. Let's